All right, so this new message series is titled Auto Response. And some of you are like, what's that mean? Well, some of you know how to walk into situations with a fire extinguisher, and others of you walk in with a gas can. And so we need to know how to operate as Christians. The Bible gives us clear instructions, okay? Now, the Bible's wonderful. I love my Bible. I have got a ton of Bibles in my office, and I love every one of them, okay? But at the end of the day, it's not the Bible in literal form or in tangible form that makes me holy, all right? It's the instructions on the inside and then me living those out. Right? So Jesus gives us a clear blueprint on how we're supposed to act. Now, I know I might be stepping on some toes this morning, so I would appreciate if all spouses would keep your elbows close to your sides. Okay? Buckle your seatbelt, all right? And let's enjoy the ride, okay? But I really want to make sure that you understand that I don't have anyone in mind. I don't have any stories, all right? As far as like, oh, I know about these people. I don't know anything, okay? But all I'm just letting you know, all I want to bring is the Bible, okay? What the Bible has to say. Now, I'm going to cherry pick this morning. I'm going to pick a few emotions out. Just for the next 3 weeks, and then we have Mother's Day, okay? So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be going over this message series, Auto Response. And I'm going to cherry pick this morning, but I really believe it's necessary that we cherry pick this one because we fall victim to it all too often. So this morning's emotion that we're going to tackle is anger. Now, I know you're like, ah, geez, I'm not angry. I'm so nice. Are you? Let's ask ourselves, are we so nice, right? So the Bible gives us so many clear instructions. Why? Because the Bible wants us to grow in maturity. Growing in maturity is learning how to operate in every situation, every circumstance. In the moments where you think that you're like, oh, I should act like this. The question is how is that? Like, what is the proper way to act, okay? Because if these are real emotions, then we need a reality check, okay? Because real emotions are real. Some of us might need a reality check, okay? I'm getting feedback in this speaker right here, Chad. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a speaker weird person. I can hear everything. I can hear you sniffle, by the way. I'm only kidding. I'm really not. I hear it all. Okay, but again, emotions are real, and if they're real, then they need a reality check, period, okay? So, Proverbs 25:28 tells us, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Let me read it again. A person without self-control is like a city with broken walls, right? Guys, this is an eye-opening scripture for all of us. This is the moment we have to sit here and settle in to, do I want my emotions to dictate my relationships? Do I want my emotions to cause all sorts of dysfunction, right? Do I want to be perceived as that person who you can't get along with or they're a ticking time bomb? I mean, I'm supposed to be a Christian, therefore I should be, I should have an approach, or I should be approachable by people. But if people are nervous around you because they go, oh gosh, be careful around them, that's not good. So we have to change some things. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and mold us and shape us and develop us. Because what's happening is you're operating from dysfunction versus blessing. And I want to operate from blessing. I want people to be able to come to me because I'm producing the fruits of the Spirit and they're eating well from that fruit. Like, I want them to be fed and nurturing. I want them to be fed with nutritious things from the Word of God and not the bad cursed items that we read about. I want them to have the eye-opening moment and go, you know what, that's not good. This is good according to the Word of God, and I want to operate from this position. It's Because here's the deal. Anger, even though I said, oh, I'm gonna easy pick this one this morning because, you know, anger is easy to kind of to narrow in and say, this is the problem, okay? But anger really is a secondary emotion. I'm getting a lot of feedback, Chad. I'm sorry. You hear it. Everybody, I'm sorry. My wife's telling me to move on past it, but I can hear it. Oh. I apologize for everyone. No, dude, don't you. You're like the best sound guy on the planet. Don't worry about that. I just hear it. I'm not OCD, I swear. Everyone in this room is like, there's an emotion that Josh is showing right now. Anger is a secondary emotion. There's something deeper driving it, okay? Period. There's something deeper driving it. Hurt, fear, frustration, insecurity, loss of control, whatever it is, there's something deeper here. That's what you have to identify. So if you have a loved one who is dealing with anger explosion moments, then this is like your identification moment to go, hold on, let me identify what the root cause of it is so that I can help them, that I can alleviate some stress off their life. Like identifying not the outbursts, but what's deep down below. Because anger is loud, but the roots are real quiet. It's the small things. Now, some of us, if we find ourselves in anger, we have some difficulty in seeing some of that. And I know it's going to hurt sometimes when a friend or a close person will actually call it out. It hurts. Nobody wants to be corrected, especially someone who is angry already. They don't want to be corrected. But if you can see it, right? If you can sense it, then it's probably best if you could figure out a way to say, hey, I sense this going on. There's something deeper here. It's anger is the smoke to the fire. Okay? So it's going down to the root cause of it and saying, hey, let's talk about this. What's been unresolved in your life? Let's talk about some things right here. So if you just come with anger against anger, if you just start yelling, then it's just a yelling match, okay? But let's get down to maybe some of the disappointment, some of the frustration, some of the fear. Let's get to those root causes. Because here's the biggest concern, and A.W. Tozer says it best. The man who is impatient and quick to anger shows that he is not yet fully yielded to God. We need to be fully yielded to God. Fully yielded. And if we're operating from anger, we're not fully yielded. There's something deep down inside that we have to figure out. We've got to bring it all to Him. We've got to lay down these things and seek healing. Seek His presence. Seek His face in our circumstances. We cannot allow the devil to have a playground in our emotions. Okay? We cannot have these emotional allergies to the situations that are around us. That this is just the way it is, right? We hear those kind of things. That's not a good way. We have to fix it. We actually have a wonderful story found in Genesis. It's a horrible story, by the way, but it's a wonderful story for us to glean from to go, you know what? Our Heavenly Father tells us that sin is just creeping at your door. In Genesis 4, 3 through 7, it was time for Cain and Abel to give an offering, to give the best, a sacrificial offering. So in verse 3, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. And that's the moment of recognizing, hey, why am I so angry? Why am I so upset? This is exactly what we were talking about earlier, that anger is the smoke to the fire, because deep down inside, he was disobedient to what God had called him to do. He brought some of his harvests, right? He didn't do what God had told him to do. So therefore, he was doing his own thing. He was doing it his way, and when it came time to be corrected, he just got more angry. What did he end up doing? He ended up killing his brother. The first murder. What a horrific scene. And then acted as if it was no big deal. But it was anger. And yet, God warned him and said, if you would just do what is right. Some of us in this room, we're sitting here and we may say, well, that's not me. That's not me. There's some subtle things still. Right? Some of you may not have emotional outbursts, but some of you have the silent treatment. The silent treatment's real. Let's move on to another story. 1 Kings 21. Now, next Sunday, we will be actually talking about the entire chapter. All right, so 1 Kings 21, I would encourage you to read it this week, study it out, because we're going to talk about it next Sunday in depth. I'm really excited about next Sunday. In this story, you see a man named Naboth, okay? Naboth was from Jezreel, and he owned this vineyard. This vineyard was family-owned land that God had given them, and it was ancestral, so it keeps getting passed down and passed down. Well, many of you know who King Ahab is, right? Jezebel's husband. And so King Ahab comes in, and he's this selfish individual. He's really weird. He's passive-aggressive. He's actually one lab accident away from being a supervillain, right? He is right up there. I think Jezebel takes the supervillain title, but he's right next to her. But Ahab is upset because he goes to Naboth and says, hey, I want to buy your vineyard, or I will trade you, right, some land equal in value. Ahab felt like he was being fair, but it wasn't what God had instructed Naboth to do. So Naboth responded and said, you can't have this land because I'm not allowed to give it away. This is a Levitical law moment found in Leviticus 25. So you have to do some deep dive here to find out why wouldn't Naboth just sell it? Why not? Well, because the Lord said, don't do it. So what happens? 1 Kings 21:4. So Ahab went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. What a child. I mean, seriously, I didn't get what I wanted. Super, super weirdo, man. And so in comes supervillain, right? Jezebel. She's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, Naboth didn't give me the land I wanted. She's like, are you a king or are you a child? He's like, I'm king. She's like, well, then don't worry about it. Eat, get up and eat. I'll take care of this for you. So what does she do? She creates the scheme and she gets him killed. All right. Now, I know you're sitting here and you're probably thinking, wow, Josh, you just gave us two examples of anger to murder. And I'm sure none of you are murderers in this room, or so we hope. All right. And I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, that's extreme case scenarios. Okay, but the example in Genesis that God gives us is that sin is crouching at your door. And sin will cause you to do something that you didn't even think was possible. And yes, like we said, anger is the smoke to the fire. But if you don't take care of this fire, then it becomes a wildfire, And you're going to end up doing something that you didn't think was possible because that fire is consuming you. Some of you say, well, again, I don't have emotional outbursts. Well, what about sarcasm disguised as humor? Right? How about eye rolling and dismissiveness? How about faces behind people's backs? Right? How about that short tone or impatience? Like those impatient moments where it's just short and quick, right? How about avoidance, bitterness, judgment, perfectionism towards others? You're easily offended. How about that, like, really hard, they just need to get some things fixed in their life, and there's no grace or mercy involved in it? These are all aspects of anger. And yes, even though I said, hey, we're going to touch on anger this morning, it actually is more complicated than just be like, anger, let's talk about that. No, there's a lot that comes with anger. And these unchecked behaviors will set ablaze in your life. And there's so much destruction behind you and hurt. And that's where we have to recognize, hey, maybe there's some small tweaks, right? Maybe there's some moments where I can fix how I feel, but acknowledging it immediately, being quick to say, hey, I need to fix this, or hey, I need to examine my heart behind this. Again, I know what it's like to be corrected. I know it's hard, right? I know it's hard for someone, even the person who's doing the correcting, to go to him and say, hey, I notice this is going on. You're really short-fused right now. I would tell you, as someone who's going to someone, as they're the ones that are in anger, but you're the one who's sitting there and you see this, and I would ask you to approach them with a lot of prayer. And I would even suggest that, hey, Lord, if it's not me, then send someone else, type of a prayer moment. Like, Lord, if you could send someone in to speak to them, to love on them, right? Whatever it may be, Lord, let's attack them with love from all different angles, right? Go to them with that type of a posture of, it's in prayer, it's in love. And you do it from a constructive side to say, hey, what can I do to help you? I sense that you're frustrated. Let's maybe not use the word anger. Not that we're avoiding conflict, not that we're trying to be, you know, passive aggressive. I'm not saying that. But what if we went to them and said, hey, let's call out some of the root causes of things, right? Hey, let's call out frustration. Let's call out, you know, that sense of disappointment. Hey, what's going on? How can I help you? How can I alleviate some stress? What's going on? And sure enough, they'll get to it. Oh, man, I had this come in the mail today. I had this answer on the phone from this person. It's not what I thought. Oh, man, the disappointment with my children right now, the disappointment with my spouse right now. Now, again, be quick. I wouldn't go down unless you're really personal with them, okay? So I'll be real personal with my wife, and I'll be real personal with my children. If they share my last name, well, I'm going to be long loved, listening, paying attention. But if Ethan comes to me, now I know I'm his pastor, so that's a different relationship as well, but let's just say that Ethan and I are co-workers. I'm not going to be long listening to all of the problems in his life. I'm going to be quick to point to Jesus. I'm going to take the responsibility off my shoulders, and I'm going to place it on Jesus. I'm not the healing answer. So I will listen and be like, hey, man, notice you're really frustrated. Is there anything I can do? Man, if you don't understand what's going on right now in my life, man, I am so stressed out. I've got this going on, this going on, this going on, this going on. And then I would go, all right, let's give this to the Lord right now. Let's pray this out. Can we pray this out? If you continue to go, if he goes, yeah, I got this going on, and then, man, my truck broke down, or my truck broke down, this guy came over here, and then he didn't even want to help me, and he just kept driving off. He's a jerk. And then when I get home, I'm so disappointed. Kayla, you're probably the best wife on the planet. But she didn't have my massage table ready. Right? All of these things, like, I don't need to hear any of those things.
That's right.
Right? I need to point to him. Man, I'm just pointing you to him. That's it. I'll let him list it out, but I'm not going to let him go through the details of it all.
That's right.
I'm going to say, hey, let's talk to Jesus about this. Let's give it to him, man. I can't do it. Right? I can't do it. It's going to be Jesus. Therefore, I've created a firm boundary. I'm not his healer. Because there would be a day if I opened up that dialogue and I allowed Ethan to share all of these things with me, right? All the details of each problem, that every day he's going to want to come to me and he's going to seek my advice on what to do in those circumstances. And I could easily be like, dude, this is what you need to do. And then out of nowhere, what happens? I give him some bad advice. And now his radar is zeroed in on me. And that's why it's important for us as Christians to be quick to point to him. Hey, man, I feel your frustration. I sense what's going on. And if you are able, if you're a neighbor, a coworker, a family member in some way, and you're able to alleviate some of that stress, hey, let me help you out. This is a good Samaritan moment, by the way, right? Not just point them to like what they need. Oh, you need food? You know, the grocery store is right down the road. Oh, you need clothing? Oh, there's a department store right beside it. No. You help them, okay? Be a good Samaritan. Help them, whatever it may be. But you're giving God the credit. You're giving God the glory for it. Period. You don't take that on yourself. You take that on yourself, get ready. That fire is going to consume you.
That's right.
You can't allow that to happen. Now, for you, that you, maybe you're not that angry, okay? I know, because I don't want you missiled in on me right now, right? Maybe you're the nicest, sweetest person. But let's just also say maybe you're not. Let's maybe say that you are a little fiery, okay? And you need to be corrected. You need to be course corrected. You need to examine some of your actions and some of your words. Right? Is the world all against you? Is that how you do your post? You know, on Facebook? The world's against you? The most spiritual button on your phone is the backspace. It's the most spiritual button on your phone. Right? Just delete that thing. It's the best thing you could do. One time I got into a situation that was not great. And I was so angry. These people did some horrible things to me. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And I was just so dumbfounded. I didn't have anything to say. Man, I was so mad that I didn't have anything to say. So I went to some pastor friends of mine. I was staying with them. I was helping them do some stuff at their church. And I remember late at night we were talking, and I go, I was so angry. So I was so angry. I didn't have anything to say. I have all the things to say now. Right? Oh, I wish I could have just one-two'd them, you know, like give them exactly what they needed to hear. But I didn't have the words to say. And thankfully, my friend Alan, he looked at me and goes, praise God. He said, and I love this scenario. He goes, could you imagine when they got back home? They got home to their spouses, right? And they were like, oh, yeah, I told him what I thought. And I told him this. And I told him that. And then Alan looks at me and goes, and then their wife goes, and what did he say back? Nothing. Man, he goes, what an amazing moment to have said nothing. And I thought, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I had nothing to say now. I'm so thankful I didn't have anything to say. So, this is where we have to place ourselves as a living sacrifice, renewing our mind daily before our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, are my actions godly? Are the things that I do approving to you? Are you well pleased with me? Do I have my life in order? Say that, you know, relatively. Everybody knows this, all right. But you know what I'm talking about as far as our emotions are in check? Because they're real. But Heavenly Father, I ask that my emotions are placed before you. And maybe who's someone who comes up to you. Maybe they're off. Maybe they're off just slightly. And maybe you can't receive from them. And they tell you something, you're like, who are you to tell me this? I would keep your mouth shut. Withdraw all moments of wanting to one to them, right? And just place that before the Lord and say, Lord, is there any truth to what they had to say? Is there any truth to this? Lord, your scriptures tell me, Lord, if there's another person in the eyes of two witnesses, Lord, if there is another person, Lord, send them my way. Someone I can receive. If I've got to change something, then Lord, reveal that to me. But my approach for you is to not be so quick in your auto response to what they are accusing you of, and just kind of lean back, take a deep breath, close your eyes, separate yourself from the circumstance. But when you separate yourself from the circumstance, it's not your yoga time. It's your Holy Spirit time, right? That you're in His presence and you're saying, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, God, that, Lord, that really bothered me. That really frustrated me, what they had to say. Lord, am I angry? Lord, am I bitter? Do I have fits of rage? Do I have moments that are unpleasing to you? Lord, reveal that to me right now. Lord, check my heart. Get that out. I don't want to be this way. All right? Don't hold a grudge for that person. Right? Maybe their approach was wrong. Give them grace on their approach. Some people are just black and white. Ain't no, not everybody's going to be like your grandma. Right? Your grandma can do all kinds of things to you. She can lick her finger and scrub all over your face. Right? But to have a stranger do that, right? So you got to be careful. It hurts. Being corrected hurts. I get it. But we can't allow our emotions to go unchecked before our Heavenly Father. We've got to go to Him. We've got to say, hey, what is this? We live in a world right now. This is a sidestep part of my message here. We live in a world right now where there's so much information. There's so much information available to all of us. I mean, we can Google anything right now. I mean, my dad hung the moon growing up. He was never wrong. I'm wrong all the time in front of my kids. We're at the dinner table. I'm like, yeah, man, this, this, and this. And they're like, they pull up their phone, they'll Google fact check it immediately, and they go, no, Dad, you're off by two numbers. Oh, man. I like to burn all these phones down. I want to be right about everything. That was a joke, by the way. But we live in a day right now where there's so much information. But you know what people are starving for? They're starving for community. They're starving for love. They're starving for attention in a good way. They want to be seen. They want to feel loved and cherished. And we, the church, we're supposed to be the ones that give them that. Guess we live in a day right now, you don't even have to have me as your pastor. There's so many pastors that you can listen to on a daily basis. We can pull it up right now. I can call the guys in the back and say, hey, put up a pastor right now on this screen. They can do it within seconds. You can find all kinds of information about the Bible, right? Man, there's so much information. I have so many software programs, so many concordances, and so many different breakdowns of certain books within the Bible. There's so many things you can get. Daily devotionals. You don't need me. But what you do need is a community of people who have learned that to die to self and to be hungry for the things of God and to live a godly lifestyle with God focused and centered in their families, and that we can all glean off of each other and help each other out to go, hey, we're going to do life together. We're going to do community together. We've gotten into a consumerism age of church. Is the music good enough? It's okay. Do they have a good handle on the HVAC system in this place? Because that last church I was at, it was cold. It's not too bad in here, right? It's like consumerism in church. Is their coffee okay? What people are looking for are God-focused, centered Christians living a godly life filled with mercy and grace and love, right? That's why it's important that we talk about these situations of anger, resentment, bitterness, selfishness, so that we can get rid of these things, so we can be who God's called us to be. Christians with open arms and say, hey, no, come in here. We're going to do life together. We're going to talk about Jesus together. We're going to love on Jesus, allow him to love on us in these moments. Come on now. Amen. We live in a world right now, man, I'm telling you, it is easy for us to just be quick, in and out. Let's just come into church real quick. I'm going to bail out at the end. Right? I don't want to meet anybody. Let me get into my house. Man, that's sad. I know some of you are like, I do that every week. It's sad. Stop it. Because community is important. It's important for us to recognize being a Christian filled with God's love. Because I love to be around people who are filled with God's love. Man, there's an attraction to this where I go, I want to be like this. I want to be more like Dan, right? I want to be more like Chad. I want to be more like Pete, right? I don't call out women's names. I just let my wife do that. I mean, I love Xana, but I don't want to be more like Xana. I want to be a man. We've got to learn how to operate in peace and patience and gentleness and forgiveness. Man, when we do this, talk about an attraction. People are attracted to Jesus. And we're supposed to be an image bearer of him. Let's read what Jesus has to say about it. In Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 24, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you like how I brought that around? Because remember, I was like, oh, I know you guys haven't murdered anybody. But Jesus was like, yeah, I know you haven't murdered anybody. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So, If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifices to God. Look at the importance that Jesus calls out. It's like, the sacrifice isn't even worth it. It's a wash. Like, you gotta stop right now. Leave it there. Go take care of your problems here. Reconcile the situation. I mean, to walk around and just blatantly call people idiots, they're a moron, right? How many of us, we've been at work, you get angry at somebody, you come home and you tell your spouse, your loved one, you look at them, you go, right? Or you're at work and you're just like, you just point that guy, right? That's not godly. And Jesus calls it out. We as Christians need to be open-armed, loving reconcilers, right? Reconcilers. Let's fix this situation. Let's come to a solution here. This isn't how we're going to live life. It's not godly. It's not godly living. God says that we need to be peacemakers. What's that look like? Peacemakers. Now, some of you, it's going to come natural. Some of you, it's not. That doesn't make anyone better than the other person. But being a peacemaker is something the Holy Spirit can walk you through. It's stopping and saying, Holy Spirit, Lord, do something in me before I do something out of me. Right? Man. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I know you guys aren't like blatantly like blind to these things. Have you ever walked into a room where there's a situation that's gone on and you go, what's going on? Nothing, right? You can sense it in the room. There's something in that room. And you go, ooh. Have you ever been somewhere with a stranger or an acquaintance of some sort and you've never seen them angry and all of a sudden you see them angry for the first time and you're like, that's awkward, right? That's new. It's like this new, like, whoa, what's this? That's pretty explosive. Ladies, make sure when you're dating, you get to find that person first before you accept the ring, right? Look, let's get some details worked out here. Be careful. Dismissiveness towards these types of interactions. Because again, not all of them are big emotions. Some of them are very small. But there are body languages. It can be small, it can be large. There's non-verbal moments where you got to take note of these and go, whoa, hey, this isn't good. This isn't godly. I need to check myself, right? I need to look at myself in the mirror and I need to ask myself, God, am I walking with you? Or am I doing my own thing? I don't want my emotions to control me. And I would imagine the rest of you in this room, could you imagine? You're just an emotional walking time bomb. Some of you go, I don't have friends. Now, I know this might hurt. Ask yourself, are you friendly? I can't find friends. Why? Maybe there's something right now that needs to be laid out before your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, examine my heart in my situations. Lord, bring me good friends. Lord, I pray for friends. Man, I am so thankful I learned that a long, long time ago. I learned it a long time ago because I grew up in the woods of West Virginia and I had imaginary friends. So I learned, God, send me good, godly friends. I've always had good friends. not necessarily godly all the time, but I've had good friends. And over time I've learned, I've added in godly as I got into college. Godly friends, the influence of godly friends. And that changed everything. So my prayer for you in this room is you go, hey, I want good, godly friends. It doesn't have to be forced. Godly friends aren't forced. Godly friends are like this. Come in here, give me a hug. And I'm so thankful for good, godly friends. But you also gotta pray that prayer, Lord, let's remove the friends that I don't need to be friends with. I don't want them to affect me. I want good, godly influence. I want to surround myself with people who know the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because I want to be fed well. I love hanging out with people who produce godly fruit. Man, it's an orchard of fun. When I'm around good, godly people, man, so much fun. The conversations aren't spiteful. The conversations aren't filled with pervertedness. They're not filled with things that are ungodly. They're filled with things that bring joy to our Heavenly Father. They admonish Him. They bring in clarity. The conversations are always filled with such compassion, excitement towards what God's going to do. It's growth conversations, not dead conversations. That's why Proverbs 18:21 tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want to be around people who are speaking life and not death. Right? I want to be around people who are saying, oh, the possibilities. Right? The excitement of what God's going to do. I don't mean to put anyone on a pedestal, but man, I can point out a ton of people in this room. I love being around them because you just go, oh yeah. I mean, I can call out a few. Have you ever been around Mickey Smith? I love him. Let's talk, Mickey. I mean, that man can go out into the woods and not kill a deer and still come home and be like, dude, it was the best time ever. But yet he went to go do something in the woods, but yet he comes out and he's like, I love it, right? Josh Meininger, this guy right here. You be around him, he's like, you talk about the Lord? You want to talk about Jesus? You want to talk about Jesus? You want to talk about Jesus? It's fruit-filled. Like, you yes, let's talk about Jesus, right? It's always on a level of spiritually guided, fully nutritious with God's word. It's people like that you go, I want to be around them. I want to be around people who are going to lift me up and not tear me down, right? They're encouragers, not discouragers, right? If I say, oh man, I mean, I've got good godly people. I'm like, Bruce, I'll go to Bruce and be like, man, this is awful. He goes, what are you going to do about it? Like, I don't know. Just let me sit here for a second and tell you about how awful it is. And he lets me sit there and tell him about how awful it is for just a few minutes. And then he's like, that's not going to get you too far. I go, I know, but it feels good, right? Because victimization, you want some type of a dopamine of like, I'm a victim, look at me. But then, thankfully, good, godly individual in your life will go, all right, snap out of it. What's your plan? Have you seeked the Holy Spirit out to find your plan? Right? Because otherwise, the path to destruction is behind you. If all you're speaking is destruction, doubt, and unbelief, where are your faith-filled words? Right? And I'm not talking about hocus-pocus faith-filled words. Make it to you, you know. I can't stand those kind of statements, whatever I was about to say. Just read one of those church marquee signs going down the road. Guys, this is a pivotal moment for some of us in this room to go, I don't want to act like this anymore. Heavenly Father, correct my ways. Let me get on the path of righteousness. Let me get on a path where you're producing the good fruit out of me. Heavenly Father, show me the errors of my ways so that I'm not destructive to my family and generations. that it would affect. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wisdom. I seek your wisdom in this moment. So this is the gut check moment. How are you auto-responding? Right? What are you going to do about it? First, you go to your Heavenly Father. You say, Lord, put out the fires. My frustration. Write it down. Take some notes. Write it down. Maybe it might that you have to write it down because you have to go, what am I so upset about? Right? Write it down. I'm disappointed in this, and I want this to change. I want this. So then you place that before your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, this is it right here. God, I don't want to act like this anymore. I don't want that stuff to affect me. God, give me a plan. Maybe there's frustrations in your marriage and you say, man, I need this fixed. How am I going to appropriate conversations with real feelings and real emotions without it blowing up? Heavenly Father, give me that wisdom. Give me that instruction. And that might be coming to them and again, not pointing out the outbursts of the problem, but then getting to the root of it and going, how can I help you from disappointments and frustrations? Is there a lack in our marriage? Is there something that I could do to lift you up? How can I serve you? Small moments, small moments.